Lecture 5, From Troy to Carthage.
Hello, and welcome back to Lecture 5. In our previous lecture, we discussed Book 1 of the Aeneid and how it brought Aeneas to Carthage and into the court of the Carthaginian queen Dido. In this lecture, we're going to look at books 2 and 3 of the Aeneid, in which Aeneas himself narrates his wanderings to Dido and to the assembled Carthaginian court. We'll concentrate on book 2, which is the longest extant account of the sack of Troy that has survived from ancient literature. We'll begin by noting once again the similarities to and differences from the Homeric model of books 2 and 3, and we'll then consider how Aeneas's narratives of the gods' involvement in the sack of Troy and the prophecies he receives on his journey reiterate his role as the destined founder of the Roman people. In Book 2, Aeneas narrates the sack of Troy and the ruse of the Trojan horse. Book 3, still in first-person narrative, accounts his subsequent wanderings. This whole section of the Aeneid is clearly based on books 9 through 12 of the Odyssey, in which Odysseus recounts his previous wanderings, including everything he did after the fall of Troy. The two heroes narrate their adventures in closely parallel circumstances. In both cases, the hero, Odysseus or Aeneas, is in the court of a friendly monarch who will offer him assistance. Dido, obviously, in Aeneas's case, the Phaeacian king Alcinous in the case of Odysseus. In both versions, there is an implicit offer of marriage and a home in the country where he now is made to the hero, so that Dido very clearly would be happy for Aeneas to stay with her, marry her, become king of Carthage. In the Odyssey, Odysseus is implicitly offered the hand of the princess Nausicaa if he wants to stay there with the Phaeacians. And in both instances, the hero's visit has disastrous consequences for his hospitable and helpful hosts. In the Odyssey, the Phaeacians are punished by Poseidon for helping Odysseus, whom Poseidon hates. In the Aeneid, as we'll see particularly in the next lecture, Dido suffers greatly and, in fact, kills herself as a direct consequence of Aeneas' visit to her in Carthage. Furthermore, the content of the two stories corresponds in many details. Each hero begins his narrative at Troy and ends it with his arrival in the court of the host to whom he is speaking. So both Odysseus and Aeneas start with Troy and end up with where they are right now. Aeneas even recounts visits to some of the same places that Odysseus visited. Virgil has Aeneas quite literally following in Odysseus's footsteps, quite literally reenacting the Odyssey. But nevertheless, there are also very important differences, both of content and, perhaps most importantly, of tone. Where Odysseus's narrative focuses on his own cleverness and his skill in avoiding death, Aeneas's narrative focuses on the sorrows he has endured and the necessity imposed upon him by fate to undergo the sufferings he has undergone. Odysseus opens his narrative by saying, "I am Odysseus, I am great Odysseus, and my fame reaches the sky." Aeneas opens his narrative after Dido asks him, "Tell me your adventures." He tells her that she's asking him to recount an infandum dolorem, an unspeakable sorrow, literally an unspeakable sorrow. So instead of saying, "My fame reaches the heavens," he says, "You ask me to renew unbearable suffering, to tell you an unspeakable sorrow." Odysseus's story, furthermore, begins after the fall of Troy. He just says, "From Troy we sailed on." He takes the fall of Troy as a given, where Aeneas's story focuses very largely on the fall of Troy. There's also a difference, of course, in the two heroes' motivations vis-a-vis Troy. Odysseus is eager to leave Troy and sail for home. And although it takes him nearly 10 years to reach his home in the Odyssey, throughout the Odyssey he is heading towards, or at least trying to head towards, his native land, and he remains eager for his homecoming. Aeneas, of course, is in a very different position. Aeneas is an exile, trying to find a place where he can found a new home, but his home, his past, his Ithaca, if you want to put it in those terms, is lost forever and irrevocably. So Aeneas resists leaving Troy for as long as possible and is heading towards the unknown, where Odysseus is eager to leave Troy and is heading back towards his own home.